I'm David Whetstone. And you're listening to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Is Joni, and Chuck Hicks is joining us this morning as well. Good morning, Chuck.
Morning, Joni.
We have a very special announcement later in the show that we're going to hear about for your annual Bread for the Soul to put a smile on a child's face this Christmas. We have a great show today, Chuck. We have two special guests that we're going to be giving thanks to them. But before we introduce the guests, I want to give thanks to the WPFW community and audience, and particularly lift up two WPFW ancestors who are having birthdays or had birthdays this week. Yesterday was Brother Bay's birthday. Many of you remember Brother Bay, and he was a co-host with me for many years, and we send him a happy birthday. Also, this coming Friday, December 6th, is Damu Smith's birthday. Many of you remember Damu. He had a powerful show where we talked about Black voices for peace and environmental issues and much, much more. So we think about and remember Damu Smith today and this week. We're going to be speaking in a moment with Jean Yarborough, who is a very important new program called Harvest to Health. He'll be on with us briefly, and then we're excited to be spending most of the hour with George V. Johnson Jr., who is a treasure in our community, a jazz musician, and much, much more. He is moving to Ghana tomorrow, so today will be the last time you can hear him for a while, and we will be joined by our own Rusty Hassan when we jump in with George. So let's begin with Jean Yarborough with a new organization called Harvest to Health. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you. How are you today?
Great. Great to hear you and see you.
Yeah.
First, we want to also give thanks to Ayize, who helped to introduce me to Jean many decades ago. And I'm glad we're still in touch, and I'm excited to hear about your new, I consider it new, you've been doing it, I think, for a couple years, Harvest to Health. So tell us about what is Harvest to Health all about, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, thank you again for inviting me on the show, Mr. Joni. And I do also agree with her that the good brother Ayize and his good spirit was just a link for you and I to meet. So I'm grateful for that relationship that we've been able to maintain.
Absolutely.
So Harvest to Health is a value-based organization where we grow organic produce, seasonal produce. And we have three pillars of our business, which are life sustainability, advocacy, and education. And we farm on the Eastern Shore of Maryland on the Harriet Tubman Historic Land. And we also have a farm that we farm at in Upper Marlboro. And we bring our produce to the city, particularly some neighborhoods that are underserved, don't have access to these local fresh produce products, and we do a variety of farm markets every week throughout the year.
Wow, and you work with a lot of young people in DC, right?
Yes, yes, we do. We have a youth program where we are connected with schools, where we have DC youth children come out who are signed up for the summer youth program by DC, and they express interest in agriculture, and they get a chance to come up to the farm, and they get a chance to learn the importance of just what planting a seed is and being able to nurture that seed as if it's another life form, which it is another life form. And it gives, we give to the earth and it gives back to us tremendously. And we give children the opportunity just to have some options other than what they see in the city.
Wow, and you worked, I know you worked, Gene, in DC schools for many years.
Yes, yes, I have. I've been an educator in DC public, charter, and private schools for over 20 years. And I still have the love for nurturing our young folks, just like we did over at Mommy's TOC with Baba Eze. And we've just sort of taken a pivot towards this agriculture science where it has more relevancy to our children's livelihoods.
Absolutely. And as people who listen to this show know, we do a lot of work, sometimes at least on the Eastern Shore with Harriet Tubman celebrations. And I understand you take young people to bring young people to the Eastern Shore and check things out there.
Yes. Yes, we do. And we're looking forward to doing that again next season. Right now we're in a transition because you see the cold weather. We are transitioning crops, just making sure that they're warm and in a safe place to survive this cold weather. That's another process that we teach the children. We're also working on some grants where we can get some more transportation to bring children outside, because when children get a chance to be exposed to this experience that they haven't seen in their city, where we see these concrete jungles, we don't see a lot of grass spaces, it gives them a different perspective. I can remember one time we had some high school students out there, and right after we finished our task, we reflected. We go around the circle, we give children a chance to do some self-reflection. And this young 16-year-old high school student said, there were no distractions. And that was so profound to me because, you know, our youth are bombarded with so many distractions, which keep them from, you know, learning who they are. And it gives them a chance to see themselves in a different light. So we're excited to reach out to schools. And if you have a school in mind or children that you know or your family's interested, we're looking to bring you out and be a part of our community as well.
Wow. So if people are listening and want to get in touch with you, what's the easiest way?
Yes. The easiest way, you can call me directly, 917-653-8743. Please leave me a text because I'm quite busy with tasks on the farm and around the city. I can get back to you as soon as I see the text. Another way to get contact with me, I'm on IG, Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T, _2_, and the word health, H-E-A-L-T-H. Also on our website, harvest2health.com. And of course, the number two is in between the word harvest and health, which represents our physical approach to it and our mental approach to healing as well.
Okay. And so you actually help children and young people learn how to do farming, and specifically organic farming?
Yeah, specifically organic farming. We teach the importance of not using harsh chemicals, using regenerative practices. So all these leaves that we see being raked up out here, we're using them for our compost. We're taking them and we're making layers for our raised beds. And there's ways that you can just look around and see the nature and have it provide the resources that you need instead of going out and using other people's chemicals to make your food quality. So with this organic regenerative practices, you get the local produce that hasn't been sitting in these warehouses for too long. they haven't been altered by their natural process. And then you get a chance to harvest it and taste it. So you get a chance to sort of go full circle and see how you were able to be a creator and a developer in your own space and time.
Wow. So the children really learn and the young people really learn what healthy, a little more about healthy eating.
Yes, they're learning a lot. And it's exciting to see children as young as 6 years old. We have some family members who are volunteers as well, and they bring their children out. Last year, we did a bunch of callaloo and okra and a lot of crops indigenous to the African continent. And we had these 6-year-old and 5-year-olds digging the holes for us so we could plant the seed.
Wow. Well, you know, Gene, we want to see if we could have you on more frequently and perhaps have some of the young people give messages as well. And
yes.
In a moment, we're going to move into the majority of the rest of our show, talking with George V. Johnson, Jr., who is moving to Ghana tomorrow. And I understand you're taking a trip to Ghana in January.
Yes, I will be taking a trip to Ghana. We're just looking at some resources to develop some global networking. Another thing that we want to expose our children to as well, just being good citizens of this beautiful globe, instead of just being trapped in their neighborhoods for their lifetime and not being able to see outside the neighborhood. And it does something for your soul. It does something for being exposed to other societies. So I know Baba, who's coming on next, knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, and we invite you to stay on, and perhaps you'll have a chance to jump in and ask him a question when he starts to talk about his journey tomorrow to Ghana.
So
once again, Gene Yarbrough, we're so glad to talk with you today, and we are going to have you on more frequently. Again, thanks to Baba Ayuze for introducing us about 20 years ago.
Yes.
And, and I'm glad you're from our home. We got the same hometown in New York City, but we live in the D.C. area now. So,
yes.
Again, Gene, give your phone number one more time for people who have family members, children, young people, or even adults who may want to help with what you're doing in your Harvest to Health program.
Yes. The number is 917-653-8743. And Joni, I just wanted to take this time to say thank you for inviting me on the show again. And you're doing a very important thing in our community. So keep the work up. Keep your light shining.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Gene.
Yes, thank you.
And you can hang on. We're going to go into some welcoming music for George V. Johnson, Jr. And Rusty Hassan will be joining us. Many of you who listen should know Rusty Hassan. He's on every Thursday evening from 10 p.m. till midnight. He is another treasure in our community, a jazz treasure, and we'll be helping to share with the listeners the vast range of George V. Jackson Jr., what he means to this community, and what he's going to be bringing and sharing back with us in Ghana. So let's hear a little music to welcome on. And we're going to be hearing more of that music at the end of the program, Talk Spirit. Welcome, George V. Johnson, Jr.
Hello, Joni. How are you?
Great to be talking with you. I'm very excited.
Thank you for having me on your show. This is so nice.
That's great. And we could spend probably half a day at least, if not a whole day, talking with George about all his amazing stories in the jazz community in D.C. and around the world. But I'm going to ask Rusty to jump in. And Rusty, if you can give listeners, to begin with, just a brief overview of George V. Johnson. As we know, some people may not know him. You there with us, Rusty? Somebody tell me if he's on or he needs to unmute.
I don't see him on the screen yet.
Okay. So George, we're going to make sure that by at least 10:30 or 10:35, we're going to switch into your discussion about Ghana. But let's start. If you could just give us 2 minutes about your early childhood or growing up in D.C., and then we're going to jump into some of your contributions. I think we're going to start with when you were a bus driver. But let's just briefly, before we get into your bus driving stories and how that relates to music, tell us a little bit about where you grew up.
Well, thank you, Joni. I grew up in Washington, D.C., born 1950, Columbia Hospital. My early growing up was my grandfather was on 10th Street Northwest, and then we lived on Oakdale Street. And I went to Mott Elementary. Then we moved, once my mother and father got on their own, we moved in Southeast, and I went to Knoll, Sousa, and Spingarn. I came out of Spingarn in 1968. And during the Civil Rights Movement, Vietnam protests, and it was a very interesting coming up. And my father loved music, and that's how I got into music.
That's great. Okay, Rusty's with us. Rusty, welcome. And again, people should know Rusty Hassan is another jazz treasure in our community and has known George V. Johnson Jr. for many, many decades. So Rusty, if you could just briefly, I know it's hard to be brief when we're talking about George's accomplishments, but briefly introduce the listeners who may not know about George V. Johnson and how you first met him. Okay, Rusty. And Rusty's going to tell some very interesting stories. If it's going to take a while to unmute, maybe George, to start your story about your being a bus driver and how that links to some of your music.
Yes, I started driving for Metrobus in 1972. And I had been, like I had mentioned before, I had been practicing. I got the music from my father. He had a hip record player. He loved the music and he had a microphone. And I was, when he wasn't home, I would start practicing. And I ended up getting my own system and just listened to a lot of Charlie Parker, all types of music, you know. And when I was a Metro bus driver, I'd be listening to Charlie Parker. I'd have one earplug in my ear. And that's how I wrote most of my Bird lyrics. And then I had heard about the pig for John Malachi in 74. So this year I celebrate 50 years of performing and 50 years since knowing Rusty. I met him in 1974 at the Pigfoot.
Can you hear that, Joni?
Well, okay, Rusty, welcome.
Well, thank you, Joni. And thank you for inviting me. you know, it's just been a wonderful friendship. I met the folks at Pigfoot, actually, when Bill Harris was having parties in his backyard before he opened Pigfoot.
And Rusty, you know, there are actually people who don't know what the Pigfoot was, so tell people.
Okay. Well, there in Washington, D.C., there was a guitarist by the name of Bill Harris. Mm-hmm. And he actually put out a solo jazz guitar in the mid-1950s. And in the early 1970s, every Labor Day, he would have a party in his backyard. And I met Kenny Burrell, in fact. Kenny came over to my house to take a break from one of these parties. But it was always Bill's dream to open up a club. And to open up the space became available on Rhode Island Avenue, right near the intersection of 18th and Rhode Island Avenue. It had been a club before then, but it became vacant. He opened it up. And it's a really great story. Bill Harris was a reformed alcoholic and a vegetarian.
Yeah.
And he opened a club, named it Pigfoot. And it was actually...
Uh-oh, somebody's dog.
Actually, it was named after a song sung by Jesse Smith, "Give Me a Picture Than a Bottle of Beer."
Wow.
And to really set up the scene at Pigfoot in terms of it being not only a performance space, but a learning experience, he hired John Malachi as his principal musician. John Malachi was a DC pianist going back to the 40s. In fact, he was my father-in-law's best friend from before World War II. And John was a pianist in Billy Eckstein's orchestra with Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, Art Blakey. Art Blakey was a close friend of his. And so John would have workshops there. And I'd be, of course, a regular at the club. And that's how I really connected. It was really, you know, George being there at the club. But George was such a serious person about the musicians that I found out in a short while that he already taped interviews that I've done on the air of musicians like Dexter Gordon. I mean, he's got an incredible array of taped recordings of not only performances, but of interviews that I did with prominent musicians, including one that I'll always treasure, the one with Eddie Jefferson.
Yes.
Yes, and so we have a lot of stories to cover in about 10 minutes. we will be having, hopefully, George on when he gets to Ghana. But tell us briefly, George, about Eddie Jefferson. And also want to make sure that we highlight Pharoah Saunders, your connection with him, and James Moody.
Eddie Jefferson is the father of the art of jazz vocalese. That's writing and singing lyrics to improvise solos. My father had been playing his music since I was a kid. He was playing King Pleasure, John Hendricks. Moody's Move for Love was the song of the century. Everybody knew Moody's Move for Love, and we knew it as a kid. So I was learning his songs and King Pleasure songs and John Hendricks songs and Frankie Lyman and everybody else. So I had learned a lot of songs. I had already learned these songs. So when I walked into the Pigfoot and I signed up at the Pigfoot, the first thing John asked me, what did I want to sing? I said, A Night in Tunisia. He said, well, what do you know about A Night in Tunisia? I said, you know, play it just like Charlie Parker, you know. And he played it and we fell in love. I mean, I fell in love with him that morning. I was at the Pigfoot 4 or 5 nights a week. And John ended up being like a second father, man. And
wow.
Yes, and for 15 years until his death. We met in 74, he died in 87, so 13 years. We were very close friends. I would go visit him at his house. He would pick me up, and that's how I wrote my first song. He wrote it out for me in his basement.
And yeah. That song was?
That song was a song called Opening Night. Mm-hmm. I kept telling John, I had this song. So one day he said, George, come over in the basement. And I sung it to him. He wrote it out. And then he asked me, what was the name of it? I said, Opening Night. And so he said, we're going to feature you at the Pigfoot. It's going to be your opening professional day. And the song was CBS and all the rest, and Warner Brothers and all the others. Send a telegram, make them understand just what I want to be. All my life, stress and strife, sure to become a celebrity. A poet and know-it-all, I've done it all and had a ball. A poet and know-it-all, I've done it all and had a ball. So what must I do to get this interview? I can sing and I can dance if I only had the chance to show CBS. And so that was a song, and that was the day, it was in 1975. That was the day that John introduced me as Your Majesty George B. Johnson. I have the cassette tapes.
Wow, that's something. Mm-hmm. Now, quickly tell us, and again, we're going to have to spend more time with you in the future, but tell us how when you were driving a bus for many years, you, I think, at least wrote one song that was related to the, being a bus driver.
Yes, I wrote My Little Suede Shoes. I was on the Massachusetts line. I think that was the N4. You know, it was coming from past American University all the way downtown. And it was this one young lady who would get on my bus and sit beside me, behind me every morning. She got on at the at one of the embassies. It was a Japanese embassy, actually. And she was tall and she was beautiful. And it was one of those things where you see somebody, you see them every day, but you never get a chance to meet them. They get away. And so, you know, I saw that pretty little girl 2 days. She only lived a half a block away. Although we didn't get the chance to speak, I knew one day that we would finally meet. Now, that's Charlie Parker solo. That was like the first Charlie Parker complete solo that I wrote lyrics to. And so, wow. I got a chance to sing them later on in life. You know, when I moved to New York, I was armed with 30 Charlie Parker compositions.
Wow.
So, you know, wow. That's how things started gravitating.
When you were the bus driver, a lot of other musicians would get on that bus with you, I understand.
Yes, my last run was a G2. I would go past all the way to Georgetown. I would ride past Duke Ellington School of Performing Arts. That's when they was filming the first Exorcist in Georgetown, where the priest jumped out the window down the long steps. They were shooting out there every day. But during that time, I would pick up Wallace Roney, wow, Antoine, Dave Marsh, Ron Sutton, you know, quite Eric Allen, drummer Eric Allen. These are all young kids. They were like 13, 14 years old, and their conversations were totally different. They were talking about Bird, about Train on the Bus, and they always called me Mr. Johnson, Mr. Johnson. Aww. Then I ended up playing with these young men later on in life, you know, when I met them all up at Howard University. So, wow. Most of them are big stars, you know, rest in peace, Wallace. But me and Wallace became very good friends. Mm. And Jerry Allen, as a matter of fact.
Wow. Now tell us, I know you have so many stories, but tell us about Pharoah Saunders.
Well, I had moved to New York in 79. In fact, I rode the first night. One night I was up at St. Nick's Pub, and I saw Leon Thomas. And Leon Thomas said, "George, come down to the Village Vanguard on a Saturday because Pharoah Saunders is going to be there." So when I got there, I know many of you know about the kitchen. We went back in the kitchen. It was Pharoah, all the cats, John Hicks, Dr. Art Davis. You know, I think it was Greg Bandy on drums then, and all these different musicians. So Leon introduced me, said, "Pharoah, this is George Johnson. He's singing with James Moody and Lou Donaldson." And Pharoah's eyes lit up. He said, "You want to sing one?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "What you want to sing?" So I knew he was closely associated to John Coltrane, and I wrote the lyrics to Moment's Notice in 74. That was the second lyrics that I wrote. And I had been sitting on them for 6 years. And so I told him, he asked me what I wanted to sing. I said, "Moment's Notice." His eyes lit up. He said, "Tell John Hicks how you want it." I went to John Hicks. I said, "I want to do Moment's Notice." I said, "Play it just like Blue Train." And he played that song. And Eddie was just murdered the year before. So when I sang that song, he introduced me. The crowd just went, it just roared. And I sang Moment's Notice. It was so beautiful because Betty Carter was there and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was sitting behind the piano. It was a wonderful night. And then he said, "Do another one." I did My Little Suede Shoes. He said, "Do another one." I said, then I did Star Eyes. And then I literally left the club in tears. But I had given him my telephone number to my future mother-in-law's and father-in-law's house. And I had been living on the subway. I had been riding the subway at that time. Mm. I told him what I was doing. I had rode the subway for 3 months. That's wow. How I survived in New York with one eye open. You know. And so they said, "Well, George, come on out here and stay with us." And I gave Pharoah hit their number. So that Friday, Pharoah called and said, "George, we're going to be hanging out in New York City. Would you like to hang out with us?" I said, "Yeah." So I took the address down. When I got to the address, it was Power Station Studio. I walked in there, and they were recording When the Lights Are Low. There was Pharoah, Bobby Hutcherson, John Hicks, Dr. Art Davis, Billy Higgins, Amir Barak was there. It was a lot of famous musicians there. It was Steve Turre, Danny Moore, and I watched them do that one, about an hour working on that song. Then Pharoah walked up to me and said, "George, would you like to sing your lyrics?" I said, "Yes." And we recorded it. And we did one take. It was like less than 10 minutes. Bam. And wow. That's how you got Moment's Notice. His sounds will mellow something warm. You'll feel his spirit hum along. John Coltrane, play love and magic. Listen to the message of his song. John Coltrane, glad you came along. So that's the song that's really prolonged my career, that kept me out in public for like 20 something years, because I didn't record again. And James Moody was.
I still play it on the air, George.
Yeah, everybody. It was the most popular song on the album, probably. Everywhere I went, I was hearing Moment's Notice.
Wow. Okay, you're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. This is To Heal DC with me, Joni, and Chuck Hicks is also on the line with us. But we are very happy and excited to be featuring a legend in our community, a jazz legend and more, and that is George V. Johnson Jr. Also joining us is Rusty Hassan. And George V. Johnson Jr. is moving to Ghana tomorrow, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But we're very honored and excited to have George V. Johnson on. He is part of the WPFW family, knows Katia Stitt very well, and has been on the air with Robin Holden, of course, Rusty, Ellen Carter, and many, many more. You want to say a word about Katia before we move into our talk about you moving to Ghana?
Yes, Katia, I've been one of her fans since she's been on the radio, you know, and actually I knew her father, Sonny Stitt, before I met her.
Wow. And
when he passed, but actually I met him in New York. Mm-hmm. I met him in New York. When I was living in New York, I had an apartment on top of the Dojo restaurant on St. Mark's and 3rd Street, and Arnold Sterling came and stayed with me. And so I took Arnold Sterling out on the street. And then that night we called up Lou Donaldson. He was one of Lou Donaldson's favorite saxophonists. And so Lou said, meet us at Fat Tuesdays because Sonny Stitt is going to be playing. So it was me and Arnold Sterling. We met Lou Donaldson with Sonny Stitt. And that was the most beautiful night in my whole life that I'd ever seen, them three on the stage playing alto saxophone. And wow, it was amazing. And so, so when I met Pharaoh, you know, like it's like my whole career, like, you know, took off, you know, and then I got the job on the railroad. And I was also singing with James Moody. So that's another story of James Moody, how I met Moody. I ended up singing with Moody for 6-7 years.
Wow. Just talk for another minute or so about James Moody and what you
Yeah. I met James Moody up at Carnegie Hall. I met him up there. And then one night he said, after that introduction, he told me to meet him at Sweet Basil's. They were doing a tribute to Eddie Jefferson at Carnegie Hall. The Manhattan Transfers, Dizzy Gillespie, Richie Cole, James Moody, John Hendrickson, friends and family, Bobby McFerrin. And so all of them came to the club. And that's when James Moody presented me at the club and, you know, introduced me as, you know, Eddie Jefferson protege. And after that night, you know, Moody gave me $200. And after that night, I didn't sleep on the subway anymore. And, ended up getting a job. And, you know, I moved to Trenton and got married. And then I got a job on the railroad.
Wow. So from the bus to the railroad.
Yes, it retired from New Jersey Transit Rail.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a local train to Trenton. Yep. That was me.
And it's something
George, how did you meet Eddie Jefferson? How was that connection made?
Oh, yeah. How I met Eddie. Well, one day at the Pigfoot, John Malachi and Bill Harris told me that Eddie Jefferson was coming to Fort DuPont. And man, I went to Fort DuPont. I lived at South Hill High Rise at Southern Avenue and Pennsylvania Avenue. So it was only like walking distance from where I lived at. And I went over there and Eddie was playing with Richie Cole, Reuben Brown, Marshall Hawkins, and Bernard Sweetney. And I was sitting on the grass and I sat beside this old couple. And little did I know, this car was coming down the hill. I almost had an accident. His muffler came off. Eddie said, this guy said, I'm so glad I didn't drive. I said, well, I'm glad I didn't drive. He said, he's one of the performers here. And I looked at him closely. It was Eddie Jefferson sitting right beside me. And after I met him, I clinged on him like white on rice. I would call him up almost every 3 or 4 days. And whenever he came to DC, he would stay at my house. Whenever I would go to New York and stay at his house, on Raymond Boulevard. And he introduced me to a lot of people, you know. For 3 years, we had this relationship. And then one day he was, I would follow him around to different cities. And one day he was at the Grendel's Lair in Philadelphia. And he was, it was like the last song of the first set. He had Richie Cole, he had Gerald Price, Marshall Hawkins, and Philly Joe Jones, I believe, yeah. And the last song, the people started hollering and screaming. He said, more and more. And then he hollered out, "I got rhythms in five flats." He said, "This is one of my students, Georgie Johnson from Washington, D.C. He's next in line, next in line." And wow. I recorded it. I had the cassette tape. That was the tape that I showed John. Oh, man, that's a historic tape.
Okay, so I hate to cut off this story, but we want to make sure we leave time because we're going to be running out of time to talk about your journey tomorrow to Ghana. Yes. So tell us, George, I know there's a lot to share, but tell us maybe quickly why you're going to Ghana and the fact that you're actually moving there, and then you can tell us what you're going to be doing. But tell us.
Yes, okay. Last year, a good friend of mine named Sweet Lou Olutosin, Lutala Olutosin, a jazz singer from Atlanta, we became very close. I introduced him to Washington, D.C. So he said to me, he knew my lyrics and my songs like Mother Africa and Walk Spirit, Talk Spirit. He called me up. He said, "George, you got to come to Ghana." Because he retired as a colonel from the U.S. military, Army. And he moved there and bought property right on the ocean and bought some property up in the mountains. He said, "George, you need to come to Ghana. Come to Ghana." So I saved up my round trip ticket. And what I first thing I did was Google up to see what was Ghana all about, because you always got to, I watch a lot of YouTube videos. Then I discovered that one of my students, when I was teaching at this Pan-African school during the 80s, his name is Diallo Sumbre. He was the one that coordinated the year return, the 400-year anniversary of the transatlantic slave trade. So I said, wow. So I knew I was going to be in good company. So when I got to Ghana, it was like, as soon as I stepped foot on the ground, man, it was like miracles and revelations and dreams come true every day that I was there. So I went to the Aburi Mountains, the Botanical Gardens, to see the parade of the king and the chief sacred warriors. And they was marching up in chariots with gold and clinty cloths. There was some brothers playing some music in the background. They had trombones and trumpets and drums, and they were playing the high life music, Mother Africa. And I had wrote lyrics to it 40 some years ago. That's the song that I taught Diallo and them when they was going to APAS. So when I got there, I found that he was receiving a humanitarian award, Lifetime Achievement Award, for what he did with the year return. So when I went there, I saw him and they set me at this table with this young man. And we started conversating about why was I there? And I told him I was there to see Diallo Sumbre. He was one of my former students. And I was teaching him a song called Mother Africa. He said, yeah. And I asked him, what did he do? He said his name is Osborne Mugabe. And he said that he has this foundation called the Oz Brain Cares Foundation. And they have 350 young girls that they teach them how to live and how to think and how to make it in life. And I said, can they sing? He said, yeah. I said, I'd like to come to your school and do a master class. So later that night, I got a text from him to come up there on November 11. When I arrived, he had 120 children there waiting for me to sing. And I had Mother Africa, Walk Spirit, Talk Spirit, and St. Thomas. So I started teaching the class. First class, I divided them up to like 33, 33, and 33. But when I got in the first class, it was like 3 hours. And I was completely drained. I said, I can't do it 3 classes. Let's take them all outside. So he brought all 120 of the kids outside. And they all, I broke down the songs, but phrase by phrase, repetition. And they learned Mother Africa, St. Thomas, and Walk Spirit, Talk Spirit. And the videos are on YouTube. So I started a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization called Rhythms of Mother Africa Unity Program Foundation. And I'm going to be raising money. I'm starting my own musical ministry. So I'd like to, so all the countries that I name in Mother Africa, I'd like to go in each one of those countries and start the program, because they love Mother Africa and they love Walk Spirit, Talk Spirit. And so the portal has opened and I'm entering. It's time to go back, because I'm doing things in Africa that I could never do here. I couldn't do there. You know, there's so much going on here. It's time for me to go. And so I had my railroad retirement. I got a house up in the mountains.
Wow.
It cost me $300 a month. I paid 3 months in advance. It has 3 bedrooms furnished, Wi-Fi, air conditioning. I have a house. I have a property manager, housekeeper live in, and I'll be teaching at the school 3 days a week, 2 hours. And the rest of the days, I'll probably maybe hook up with Diallo. He has a school with 350 kids, and I'll be going there teaching as well. And so I'm just so thankful that God has preserved me, and I'm able to go over there and teach my lyrics and do things that I could never do. Everything that I think about materialize. It's just real spiritual over there. And if you're in tune with the mother nature and with the motherland, all kinds of things are open for you. I hear so many horror stories, but for me, it was totally different, man. I was there. I was living there with the people. I was in tune living with the people, and it's very raw. It's beautiful. The people love you. And they perceive us, the TVs and news media, they don't present us in a positive fashion. They don't present them in a positive fashion. And so people got this thing that Africa is just as modern, it's beautiful, except when you look out your window, you see palm trees and coconut trees. They got major cities in these countries, man. It's just so beautiful. And there's no taxes and there's no mortgages. And you get a plot of land for $2,000 or $3,000 and then build your property at your own pace and up in the mountains surrounded by palm trees. It's just so beautiful. So I'm gone. I'm gone tomorrow. I'll be leaving tomorrow night.
And as we'll mention again, we hope that moving into the future, we'll be able to do some specials with you, perhaps not just with me, but for together with other PFW programmers. We can have you on with some of the young people. Tell us briefly, what are some of your goals with the young people when you go to Ghana?
Well, what we're going to do, I'm going to refine the lyrics, and once we get everything going, we're going to do a fundraiser. And there are musicians that I play with in Ghana, great musicians. They're going to record, they're going to perform with the children. We're going to do a big video production and then put on a fundraiser, invite the elders, you know, the whole community, the kings, the chiefs, the president. And this is really this is bigger than me now. This is, it's growing already. And they already have my schedule already written down, and we're gonna be doing so many things, you know. And I plan to go, I've already got some interest in Tanzania, Kenya, Nigeria. So I could rent a house in Tanzania or Kenya for like 3 months. The rent is so cheap, and just go there for 3 months and just go there and volunteer. I pay my own fare, I pay everything on my own. I'm giving everything. I'm giving to God. I'm giving. This is my mission. I've been chosen. This is what I'm doing. I'm giving. I'm not charging any money. And that's the reason why so many doors are opening up. I'm not going there to make money. I'm going there to teach and I'm just so thankful.
Yes. And we have a special surprise for you, hopefully, in a minute. I'll just let people know that you are close to many people, of course, in this community. And one of them is someone who is often on this show and is on many, many other radio shows. And that is Dr. Greg Carr. He's going to be calling in a moment. I didn't send him the Zoom link, but he's getting ready to call in. And Rusty, do you have another question keep moving?
Yeah, George, it's really important in terms of the connection and the communication. How are you going to stay in contact with us here in the United States?
I'm going to have maybe a daily blog every couple of days on YouTube. You're on my channel, George E. Johnson Jr. I'll be broadcasting live from YouTube, showing you different things with the kids, performing, teaching, and moving around different locations, and a TikTok and Twitter. And I'm taking a break from Facebook right now. I won't be on there for another 4 or 5 months. And so if you want to follow me, you can go on YouTube or Twitter or TikTok.
And what are you going to do with your collection of taped interviews, memorabilia, and papers and everything that you've collected over the years in your journey through the music and all the musicians, all of our heroes that you met. How are you going to take care and preserve all of those items?
That's a good question, Rusty, because I have about 100 VHS tapes. I got a couple suitcases of cassette tapes from the 70s. And what I did the last couple of weeks, I bought a VHS converter, digitizer. So I've been digitizing videotapes. And I found videotapes, oh man, with James Moody, I mean, Kelly Ellis Allen, with Askia Muhammad doing poetry, with Fred Foss. I mean, at Twins, American University. I don't have any, I got cassettes from the Pigfoot, from everything they ever did, I recorded, James Moody. And I don't know what I'm gonna do. They're here right now. I put this stored away, you know, God forsaken, nothing happens. But I'm going today, this rest of the day, I'm gonna spend my day digitizing. I bought a demagnetizer. So that should take a lot of the static out of the, off the head of the VHS, VCR. And so I'm gonna, and if they come clean, I'm gonna repost those videos. And so maybe I'll donate them at some time, someplace, you know, something.
Yeah, like
DFW.
Yeah,
so we're, yeah, I can do
that. We're waiting for Greg Carr. Greg is, Mike, let me know if Greg Carr is on the phone. He texted me, so I know he's trying to call in, but.
What's going on? Are you there, Joni?
Welcome, Greg.
Hey, I know we're up against the clock. I just wanted to say hello. Hey, Joni, and hey. Baba George, man.
Hey, man, you my favorite person in the world, man. No, come on.
You my favorite person, and I am not alone. I just wanted to call on behalf of everybody in Narrative and Nubia. Thank you for Narrative of Set Us Free and Sister Karen. And, you know, we just over the moon that you are Pan-Africanist, not only in heart and spirit, but with your feet, Baba. You are literally. Hey, man, listen, everybody, y'all should go to Your Majesty George B. Johnson Jr. and look at his site. I mean, I love that when you were rehearsing Scott Joplin's play and Oscar Brown's lyrics. Hey, man.
Yeah.
But listen,
I'm going to do a one-man play, man, with Oscar Brown's lyrics, man. Yeah.
Sometime in the next 40 or 50 years as you go into this next phase of work, brother, I just want to say that we are blessed to have you, to know you, to be with you. And what you all are talking about this morning is just the beginning. You know, we need about 15 to 20 volumes of memoirs, all annotated. And look, Narrative is there to help, brother. So whatever you need, you know, they're developing a whole thing. And we got to get you in there to do this work as well. We want to help in everything you're doing, Bob.
Well, you absolutely know, you and Karen inspired me to write that song. That's why I call it Narrative Will Set Us Free, because I was during the pandemic when you was presenting the classes. You know, I was there the first 50 episodes every weekend. That's how I wrote those lyrics, man. You and Karen, man, you inspired me to write those lyrics.
So we have to, you know, we have to remember on the radio, a lot of times people don't know each other. So if people do not know Dr. Greg Carr by now, you're missing out on something, great, wonderful person is often on this show, but every Saturday, and you can find him on YouTube, In Class with Carr. And once you start checking out In Class with Carr, you'll find out about all his other things that he does Monday night. And he's now on Sirius XM Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And he was at least twice voted the best professor in HBCUs. For at least 2 years from around the whole country. So we're.
Yeah. But, John, I know you're up against the clock. I appreciate you doing that. Listen, Baba George, safe travels. Love you, brother. And looking forward to this work because, man, you, as much as you've done over the arc of two generations, you about to add a third generation that's going to make them first two look like you was clearing your throat. So we appreciate you, brother. We love you. And I'll talk to you.
I'll be posting in Nubia.
Yes, don't leave yet, okay. Greg, because, you know, one of the things we'll see if we can do it with PFW, and we would love to work together with you, is have some specials with George V. Johnson Jr. and some of the young people from Ghana.
Well, that's a guarantee. That's a guarantee. When you get set up, Bob George, we want you to come live in Nubia on office hours on Monday night and give us updates, because, you know, you got an army of people ready to help you.
Most definitely. Thank you.
Yes, sir. We love you, man. I'll hang on, but I'm going to be quiet because I know you're up against a hard stop, Johnny.
I think we got an extra 2 minutes, so thanks to Magic Mike. George V. Johnson, what are some of your final thoughts today?
Well, I started a GoFundMe. It's called...
We're not allowed to.
So more importantly, just support me when I come on YouTube, and just follow my journey, my spiritual journey. And I love everybody in Washington, D.C. I've been a family of PFW since its inception, 1977. I was at the first fundraiser, and I just love everybody. I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful.
Yes, and you work with Askia Muhammad and many others.
Then Nat Turner went to school with my father, went to Armstrong.
Wow.
So, you know, at those jam sessions when I was a kid on Benning Road, the resident manager had jam sessions every weekend, and Paquita Betts, Buck Hill, Shirley Horn. These were the people that I saw when I was like 8, 9, 10 years old, and I grew up on the weekends. And so I was born into the music. I'm just so thankful of Washington, D.C., because I don't have a degree in music. all my degrees come from personal relationships.
Come from James life. Peter,
with Benny Golson and Lou Donaldson and Pharoah Sanders. You know, that's my universities. And so I'm just so thankful that I was able to do this. And I'm just...
Yeah, so anybody, and of course I'm from New York City, riding on those subways. Next time you see somebody sleeping on the subway, remember, he or she may turn into a fabulous musician star. Greg, you want to give your final thought today?
I would just say quickly again, thank you for everything, Baba George, and many of us talk about and the importance of unity and fighting for our common humanity. You've lived that walk. You've walked spirit. You talk spirit. You do it to coach you. And I just want to say, on behalf of everybody who is listening, who has been touched by you and will be touched by you in the future, including all those children on the continent of Africa and beyond, that, you know, we bow and praise to you, as they might say in the Yoruba, we pay dobale to you, Baba. And you are just remarkable and a real representation of our ancestors. So, Asante Sana. Thank you, Baba. We love you.
Thank you, Baba.
Wow, thank you.
Hey, Joni, thank you for doing this. And it's been real honor and pleasure to join you. And George, safe travels and keep. I will always treasure our friendship of over 50 years, and know your music is going to be kept on the airwaves of WPFW. Thanks again for all you've done here.
And thank you, Rusty. And yes, we're going to keep the music, and we're going to make sure that George introduces us to some of those young people. And we hope to bring some young people from here in DC onto the airwaves and working with you from Ghana. In one breath, George B. Johnson, just tell us about Walk Spirit, Talk Spirit, and then we
meet. Walk Spirit, Talk Spirit was actually dedicated to McCoy Tyner. And it was recorded at Alan Johnson's studio. And with Don Vontae McCoy and Alan Johnson, Hermie Burney, and Dana Hawkins, all great musicians. It's a great music. I wrote all the lyrics on there except for one song, which is Cantaloupe Island. And I have hundreds of songs, and hopefully I'll be able to record them. Walk Spirit, Talk Spirit is being played around the world. And a lot of people in Liberia, I'm Nigeria, yeah. Lagos. I'm just so thankful.
And we thank you. I'm sorry to cut us off, but we're going to hear a little bit of Walk Spirit, Talk Spirit again in a moment. But we have two very important announcements we want to make. And that is this Saturday, those of you may have listened last week to our show talking about a very special health practitioner, alternative health practitioner by the name of Yuji Oka. He's a Japanese Canadian, a renowned world healer. He can help children, adults with special movement disorders, such as people recovering from stroke, cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis, autism, and more. He's been helping a longtime friend of mine, helping her grandbaby. So I know for sure that he helps. He's going to be doing a special presentation this Saturday, December 7th, from 1 to 4 in Cheverly. If you'd like more information, you can either go back to the show on our archives last week at WPFWFM.org, or you can email info@chevrolystem.com. info@chevrolystem.com. That's going to be at the Cheverly United Methodist Church near the Metro. That's this Saturday from 1 to 4. Anyone who's having some serious challenges that the mainstream healthcare system can't help you with, consider going and checking out this free event. And last but not least, Chuck has his annual Bread for the Soul Breakfast Toy Drive this coming Sunday, December 8th, 11:30 to 2:30. Chuck, I don't know if you can jump in and say something about it. But it's the...
It's our annual party, and it's a wonderful time because we provide toys and coats for children and families today. And if you're interested, attend in contact me at 202-421-608. And later you'll hear about our business, which you can be a part of. We've been doing this for some years. Wonderful time to help people who are in need, in particular the boys 7 and 8. So give us a call and show up at the party. We'd love to see you. 202-421-608.
Okay. And thank you, Magic Mike, for all your help. Thank you, George Reed Johnson. Thank you, Rusty, Greg Carr, and everybody. And let's keep your ears on now till we can hear a little bit of Walk Spirit, Talk Spirit, and wishing George safe travels. And we hope to talk to you very soon in the future.
New Year's Day, beginning at 10 a.m., the WPFW family and the members of King Solomon Grand Lodge will distribute to those in need all of the winter gear so generously donated by our listeners. Items such as coats, hats, socks, and more for men, women, and children are available. Support for our community begins at 10 a.m. from the Lodge, 2245 Rhode Island Avenue, Northeast. Additional information at WPFW.FM.org or by calling the King Solomon Grand Lodge at 202-378-3843. A very heartfelt thank you goes out to all who contributed. We wish you a very happy holiday season and a prosperous new year. WPFW and our partners continue to positively impact the community one event at a time.
Greetings. If you're already a cherished member of the WPFW Jazz and Justice Circle and your contributions this year have not reached $1,000, your membership will expire on New Year's Eve. To renew your membership or become a new member of the Jazz and Justice Circle through the end of 25, donations can be made during our year-end fund drive from December 15th through the 21st. Anytime before December 31st, Jazz and Justice Circle donations can be made several ways. By calling 202-588-9739 during the pledge drive. By visiting WPFWFM.org and clicking on the big red Donate Now button. Via Cash App at $WPFWFM or via text by simply texting WPFWFM to 80181 and following the clear and easy prompts.
Greetings, this is Brother Jamil, host of Yardbird Sweets. During this season of lights, we ask that you remember WPFW and the sustenance we provide to the community. You can give the gift of WPFW from December 15th through December 31st during our year-end membership campaign. It is indeed your generosity that has allowed WPFW to provide news, music, and information to the people since 1977. Donations can be made anytime at WPFW.org or by calling 800-222-9739. We wish you truth and peace now and